Thank you, guys. Thank you. Let's give it up for our praise team. We love them. Amen. They take us into praise. Those are the Levites. I want you to take your Bibles, if you'll stand to your feet, keep standing to your feet with me, to the book of Jonah and the very first chapter. Jonah chapter 1. In just a moment, Larry, you're going to see why that song is so confirmation of what I want to speak about today. Jonah chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 3. When you're there, just say a big loud, "I'm there." All right, I'm going to wait for you then. Jonah chapter 1. This book that I'm holding in my hand right here has become my best friend, my blanket, my security, my everything. And I love this thing. And it's falling apart. It's getting ready to, I'm going to have to get ready to move in. You know why it's falling apart? Because I use it. You know why I'm not falling apart? Because of this. Fine, amen. Anybody ever lose a Bible? It's hard to lose a Bible, isn't it? Get all these things written in them. But the Bible's the Bible. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise,'" everybody say arise, "'and go to Nineveh, that great city,'" everybody say great, "'and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" Verse 3, now God's talking to Jonah. And then he said, in verse 3, Jonah does this. The Bible says, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare." Everybody say, he paid. "He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Father, we love you. We know that your word is so anointed, so powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it might cut us on the way going in, but it always heals on the way out, Lord. We pray, God, you speak to our hearts this morning. I pray you use me to preach your word, my God. Open every ear, every heart in the sound of my voice. Heal the brokenhearted, God. Speak to the lost. Father, those that have got a hold of you, Father, may you give them revelation this morning in a word of knowledge. I pray the Spirit of God would just come upon me right now and give me the word of knowledge, Lord, for your people. Revelation would jump off the pages of your word, my God, and you would help me to communicate it as effectively and powerfully as I possibly can. We love you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, say, "You are looking good this morning. I'm glad you're here in the house," and you may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, how many know this morning I'm going to need a little participation? I need some hallelujah people and some amen people up in this house. Now, does everybody agree that we are living in very dark times? Do you agree that we're living in one of the darkest hours of our country, darkest hours of the world? I mean, really, if you think about what's going on around the world, we are in some very dark and very lost times. Now, there's some good things happening. I don't want to be doom and gloom all the time, but if you got to think about it. There's some crazy things happening around us in our country, right here in our own city. My goodness, there's just madness going on all over the place. All over the world, there's so much unrest everywhere. Darkness is everywhere. Yesterday, as we were at the park yesterday, when it all was done, and there was a whole bunch of stuff going on at the park, there was a lot of activity in the spirit yesterday. Hello, somebody. Wherever the gospel is going to be at, wherever the people of God go, there's always going to be some activity. And there was activity. It was a bunch of movement and the spirit going on. That's why we pray. That's why we came last Wednesday night and had some prayer up in this house to prepare ourselves for that house. Amen? And we've been praying for tonight. Tonight is going to be phenomenal. There are going to be, this altar is going to be flooded with people that are brokenhearted and lost that need a Savior. Because there's darkness out there. The addiction problems have now crossed the lines to all ethnic, economic, and even those that think they're better. It's crossed the line, baby. It no longer has no respect for those that think, "Hey, I've done all the right things." It doesn't matter anymore. Every school, every neighborhood, every level of financial, economic power. It don't matter where you're at. If you're a doctor and send your kids to Harvard, there's a heroin dealer right there in the dorm. If you try to keep them away from Victory Outreach, because we work with some drug addicts, the church you're going to go to, there's somebody, a chameleon, what I call a chameleon. A drug dealer, a drug addict that looks good on the outside, but is dirty on the inside. And they'll get your kid there, too. It don't matter where you go. So don't try to hide and say, oh, I'll keep my kids away from Victory Outreach because the element. The element is over there where it looks so good. Because you don't know what you're getting into there. It's everywhere. It's in the police department, the fire department. How would I know? Hello, somebody. I mean, it's everywhere. Darkness is everywhere. So when we, the church, are the light, and we let the gospel of Jesus Christ come out of us, we bring light to the darkness. See? Yesterday, this man came up to me at the very end of the service, tall gentleman. I'd seen him out there when we're worshiping God. He was just by the tree, and I couldn't read him. He was just by the tree, just looking and staring. He was there with his wife. They were here from Canada. They were here from Montreal, Canada. And he said this to me. He came to shake my hand, and he said, thank you so much for what you guys did here. And he says, this is what he said. I don't think he's here, right? Is he here? Oh, he's not here. Man, I would have had him testify if he was here. This is what he said. He said, Pastor, enjoy your freedom, your First Amendment rights. Let me tell you, he goes, where I'm at in Montreal and all over Canada, they passed a law now. We are not able to do what you guys are doing now. And I looked at him, and I just like, are you serious? He goes, yeah, we can't preach no more on the streets. Can't do rallies. He goes, we can't even go on the steps of our church out the front door and say, hey, Jesus loves you. We will get fined 1-2 times. A third time, we go to jail. This is true. This is not something that's fabricated to scare you. This is what happens in a lot of countries. We live in the greatest country in the world, but I want you to know, unless we protect our First Amendment rights, unless we speak out, unless we vote for the values that protect our rights, we will let them take our rights, and you know what? You won't be able to have one word to say about it. You can complain all you want, but if you didn't do your part, listen, when he told me that, I looked at him, and I said, are you serious, my brother? He says, yes. I go, you know what? I got an idea. And I go, what? I go, raise extra money and pay the fines. And he goes, well, we already did. We've already paid the fines. Now they want to arrest us. I go, well, then what you need to do is get some guys that are willing to do a little time and let them do the preaching, let them do in time, and they go into the prison and have a captive audience and preach. In other words, we're not going to stop preaching the gospel because they say we can't. There's going to be a day in this country where they tell us the same thing. They already are saying this. They're already saying, listen, this is the new law that's coming in. You cannot call at school a boy or a girl. We're finding another name because we're not going to call you a boy or a girl because it offends some people. That's how deep this thing is. It's getting darker and darker. And when the nation gets darker, when a nation gets darker, God always raises up somebody to preach to that darkness. Jonah was in some dark times. Nineveh, the Bible says, their wickedness has come up to me. Go and proclaim to them that I'm about had it already, and I want to show them some love. Because God is a God of love. When this guy told me that, I just said to myself, wow, we are so blessed. There are countries. I met a waiter. My wife and I were eating dinner for our anniversary. And we met this waiter. Oh, no, it was her birthday. So it was her birthday, and we took her to a really nice place, and we had a great time. We're sitting there and eating, and this guy, I could tell he was Middle Eastern, but I didn't ask him or anything, but he just saw us praying for our dinner, and he just felt like he could just dump on us. Hey, man, he goes, you know what? I'm from Iran. He goes, I'm a Christian. I used to be a Muslim, I'm a Christian. He goes, but you know what? If I go back, he goes, please pray for me, he goes, because I'm about to go for my citizenship, and if I don't get my citizenship back, I'm going to go, they're going to send me back, he goes, and they're going to hang me, because my whole family knows I'm a Christian now. The moment I get through, I've seen men be hanged, girls be hanged for being Christians. I've seen it with my own eyes growing up, fear, but I'm a Christian. I can't deny that Jesus Christ has come in my heart, and he saved my life, man. He goes, I know I'm clean. I know it's truth. Please pray for me. And we just like, we didn't even know the guy. He just poured out on us. We live in dark times, man. And we take for granted what we have. But we can lose what we have, but we just sit back and just, you know, oh, it's not my business. I'm from Albuquerque. What can I make a difference? What can good can come out of Albuquerque? That outreach we had yesterday was awesome. But we rattled a whole bunch of demons. Huh? Yesterday I was at the car wash. I went to go wash my car because I was going to cruise for hope yesterday. And I did. I still got my you know, white markers on the windows out there. Cruise for Hope, Victory Outreach. And I went to the car wash over on 4th Street. I washed my car there all the time. And I was there washing my car. And I finished washing my car and I got my flyers. I said, okay, now I'm about to do my business by myself. And I had no disciples with me. Let me go do what I love to do. I'd rather do this than anything. I just went car to car. Hey, how you doing? God bless you. I'm from Victory Outreach, man. I want to invite you to this drama we're having tomorrow night, Sunday night. It's going to be powerful. Come to Cruise for Hope tonight. I'm just ministering to them. Going, and this one lady tells me just like this. She goes, oh, my God. He goes, I think we need this so bad. My family. She just broke down. Our family needs it. Like, we need this. And I was like, awesome, in the right place. So I started going around talking to everybody, and I got to these youngsters. A couple of youngsters, they had their pants down about right here, and their boxers up to here. I was like, man, what size are them boxers? That's long, you know. But I walked up to him like that, and one of them was just hard like that, just looking at me like that, young brother. The other one like that. I walked up, and I go, hey, man, I want to invite you to this drama, man. It's going to be awesome tomorrow. And he looked at the drama and goes, he slapped it out of my hand. But I grabbed it before it went out. I go, hey, man, I want to invite you to this drama. I went to the next guy, and the guy just looked at me, and he goes, what is it? And I started telling him about it. He goes, wow, this looks cool. I thought, we should come and check it out, man. And I started testifying. I see the neighborhood you're in right here. I said, run this neighborhood, I said. I started talking to that. The other guy's looking at me. I go, I used to run this neighborhood. I said, but you know what? Jesus Christ, 29 years ago, Jesus came into my life. I said, I was about to commit suicide. I started talking testimony to him like that. And the other guy just took off walking. The demons were rattled all day yesterday. All day. And so they're at the car wash. And I just said, hey, man, God bless you. And then the manager came out. I turned around from the flyer. He goes, hey, what are you doing here? I go, what are you doing here? He looks at me like, I'm the manager. And I go, I wash my car here at least twice a week, brother. Oh, yeah, you look familiar. I go, yeah, I give you money every twice a week. Yeah, I better look familiar. I said, I'm just trying to help some youngsters. There's a lot of need here. And he looks around like, there's no need. And I turn around, I look to the guys. I go, those guys are packing, brother. Those guys are packing. I guarantee you they're packing right now. You tell me they don't need here. I go, come on, brother. I said, I give you money. Let me pass out a flyer. He goes, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. I go, all right. Here, come on. I want to invite you to the drama too, brother. I go, by the way, I think I asked you for a sponsor, I said, a while back. Our church is looking for some sponsorships for Run for Hope. And I don't think you called me back yet. I said, so here's my number right here. Call me back, brother. Okay, pastor. Okay. These are not out of a book I read. These are real life stories. These are things that happen on a daily basis for the man, the woman of God who cares about people. You care about people, you're going to have stories. God's going to raise up stories in your life. Why? Because God has called us to the lost. He's called us to the hurting. God called Jonah. He said, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh. Man, I want to save some people there. I want to talk to you about that importance of reaching people. Love God, love people. Can't sing it like that, but my God. That's some fast tongue twisting there, Larry. No wonder you didn't invite the team to do it. They can't tongue twist like that. You see, we either arise and go where God says to go, or we arise and go where we want to go. Because either way, we got to arise. We got to stand up, and we've got to go whatever direction God is leading us. God is leading us to the lost and the hurting. He's not leading us to a life of comfort and just saying, I'm not somebody else's job. I don't have to tell nobody about God. I'm private in my Christianity. Come on. You didn't look too private at that wedding dance the other night. Flor de las flores, flor de mi amor. No. You're all good and you're, you know, or else you're still trying to do the funk, man. They put on some of that, you know. We got the funk. And you start on that stuff like that and you're out there and your knees are hurting, but you're still doing it. You look like you weren't too private to me. Come on, get that private thing out of here. You're a Christian. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You don't have to preach it like I preach it. I'm bold. I walk up to gangsters and say, hey, what's up, homie? I said, I want to let you know Jesus loves you. That's not the way you do it. Maybe you just need to go to your neighbor and say, hey, how you doing? You need some help with that? Let me help you. hey, so how come you're always happy? Well, you know, I have Christ in my life, man. I gave my life to the Lord about 10 years ago, and our marriage is good. Everything's good, but as you can see. How can I get that? There's a thousand different ways. There's a thousand different types of people. There's millions of different ways you could just approach people with the gospel. Sometimes just the way you live helps you, but the fact is you have to have it on your mind. If you want to know your pastor's heart, that's on our mind. That's all we care about is souls. That's what our whole vision is. Pastor Sonny, I think to myself, he could be retired now. What in the world is he doing in Panama, in a crazy place? He's already done Africa, and he's done this country in Europe and America. He's East LA for Jesus. It was enough, and he kept on going and going and going and going. And now he's still in every other weekend in Panama. Now he's in San Jose. Next 2 months, he'll be in Brooklyn. And he'll be there for a while and just raise up a big old mega church there. Why? Because all he has in his mind is, I don't know how long I have on this earth, but every breathing moment, every single moment, I'm going to love God and love people. We've been called to win the lost at any cost. Whether you're a doctor, an attorney, a G, whether you're homosexual, whether you're the most, if you're on the pole every night. Yeah, I said it. God loves you. How do you know that? We don't know. We're just prophesying. God loves you, man. God loves people. I don't care if they're from Wall Street and bankers and ripping off people. And God loves everybody. God loves people. He loves gangsters, dope dealers, prostitutes, adulterers, fornicators. He loves them. But there's a day where he says, enough is enough. Go tell them about my love because I'm about to take them out. That's what he said here. Their wickedness has come up to me. I can't take it no more. Go tell them. Go warn them. It's vital. Outreach is vital for the health and the growth of the church. It is vital for you as a Christian. It helps you grow. It keeps Jesus fresh in your life. Jesus gave us the great commandment. He also gave us the Great Commission. You know why? To motivate us towards evangelism, towards outreach. As a ministry, as individuals, we are to reach out to the world around us, and it keeps us healthy, and it keeps us growing. Listen, when you don't have no type of witness in your life at all, man, you're just about you. You have to begin to share your gospel with people. You know, I go out with a lot of different people. We go eat. You know what I love? I love when some of the people in our church, hey, this is my pastor, right? This is where I go to church at. They don't hide it. And I say, hey, God bless you. And they already know me. They probably know me. I go, hey, pastor's going to start talking to them about Jesus, giving their testimony and everything. But they don't care why, because they believe in what we do. They believe in God. I mean, me and Eli go out a lot to do things. I went to a golf tournament the other day, a while back here. We went to there, and I had like 250 people. He must have introduced me to 80 people. Hey, guys, it's my pastor right here. I think he was trying to set them up and say, see and talk to the pastor for a while. You guys need help. Let me go to the next one. Pastor, I'll have you. But he's just like witnessing. Hey, this is my pastor, man. Here, talk to him, talk to him, talk to him. That's a witness. Very easy to say, I'm just with this guy. My pastor's too bold. He'll start preaching to them if I talk to him. You know? Listen, why do we exist as a church? We exist in the church. Why? To reach people, to reach hurting people. Why do we give to the church? Because we want to see the church grow. We want to have the resources to be able to reach people, not just here in Albuquerque, but in Belen, in Santa Fe, in Roswell, in the United States, in North America, South America, around the globe, in continents all over the globe. How does that make a difference for you? You obey the Great Commission. Go ye into all the worlds. We've got to help people understand the saving power of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of the cross, man, the sacrifice of what God did on the cross. See? We got to proclaim the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Church members will always have to be willing to stretch, to allow growth, to be willing to provide an atmosphere of consistency, to provide resources, finances, love, joy, peace. Listen, you have to have that ready to go, because why? Otherwise, we can't call ourselves the church. We can just call ourselves a social club. We're the church, man. At school, you young people, man, you should be at the church when people look at you and say, what's different about you? Say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a man of God. That's what. I'm an M-O-G, baby. Make your own t-shirt, M-O-G right there, man of God. I'm going to tell you right now, you guys are young. I know some of you want a girlfriend. Let me tell you how you weed out who you don't want, brother. I'm going to give you some insight. I wish I'd have learned this when I was young. Is you just weed it out by putting like that, I'm a man of God. You know what's going to happen? Let me tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is the ones that don't want nothing to do with God, they're going to stay away, and that your destiny girl is going to show up. See, I have agreement with you. We should start a Bible study in our school. Let's shake this city up. Let's shake our school up. Huh? That could be the beginning of something powerful. But if you don't let nobody know, if nobody ever knows you're a Christian, and then let's go on the other side, girls. You got to proclaim. Let guys know who you stand for. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anybody. I'm telling you right now. Huh? They're going to talk about you, put you on Facebook, put them pictures on Facebook. We have a big vision of reach hurting people. Run for Hope is just one effort, guys. Let's finish strong this next month, huh? Now, our responsibility is to pray fast, to embrace change, to flow with our growth, be flexible, to love the lost. Those are things we're supposed to be doing. But ultimately, we serve a God of second chances, and some of you need a second chance here this morning. Some of you need to be the second chance preacher. There's people at your jobs, people in your family, people at your workplace, people in your neighborhood that need a second chance, and they don't know they can get a second chance. They feel like, you know what, I blew it too bad. I'm never going to be able to get out of this. But we serve a God of second chances. We find it here in the book of Jonah. Jesus sent his only begotten son to save the lost. We know that. We know the story. He didn't come to promote the perfect. He came to bless the broken. He came to touch the brokenhearted, man. He came, and the message goes through us, man. It comes through the people of God. Let God use your life to bring light to the dark world. Man, think about this. It's staggering when you think about the one sermon on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. And you know there's over 3,000 messages being preached here this morning all over America. And you know what? I wonder if anybody's going to get saved. Or if it's just going to be a good knowledge, word of knowledge, and just write some notes and say, I'm rich in God. Okay, good. But for what? Why does God fill us? He fills us to fill a need. He fills us so that we can love the world. We can love people. We're his agents. Man, you're an agent of God. Don't be a secret agent. In Jonah, the first chapter, let's read from verse 1. Let's read down. I want to get some little bit of Bible study right quick. I'm going to give you some points, and we're going to go home in a little while. Hopefully a little better than we walked in. We're talking about the God of second chances. Amen. In verse 1, again, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, said, arise and go to Nineveh and to that great city. That great city, he talks about a great city. In other words, a huge city. In fact, some people say it took 3 days to walk across that city. He said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. See, Jonah didn't respond to the call of God. In fact, what he did is he ran the opposite way. The Bible says he procured a ship. He says, how much did it cost to go to Tarshish? He pulled out his money, paid it, got in the ship, and took off. And verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. Man, when are you going to get it? Man, I remember those great winds. Remember I'd show up to Blue Water Lake about 5 years before I got saved. And I'd be at Blue Water Lake thinking, oh, I'm going to fish all night. It's going to be a beautiful night of fishing. It was all calm. I'd be out there fishing, night fishing, catching fish. Then all of a sudden, the wind would start. Before you know it, the waves on Blue Water would be about that high, and I'd be in the truck freezing and thinking, man, I'm just out here trying to get fishing. I'm trying to get away from it. You know, that was my Tarshish. Blue Water Lake used to be my Tarshish because while I was at Blue Water Lake, my family was at church, answering the call of God. Sister Barbara working in children's church. Wanting to work with youth, but her pastor says, no, you can't work with youth. You need to be in children's church. Okay, obedient. Now I'm going to leave the church and go find a place where we'll use my gifts. She's obedient. That's why she's been blessed. That's why this knucklehead got saved, because she stayed faithful to God. The winds. How many of you still experiencing the winds?
The winds are still wrapping around all over the place, and you're still on the ship to Tarshish. Jump ship. Get back to Nineveh where God called you to. But I hate Nineveh. I know you do. That's what he did. He hated it. The Bible says the tempest was so bad that the ship was about to be broken up. Verse 5 says, then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God. They had a bunch of God. Everybody had a God. A stick God, a rock God, a cloud God, every kind of God. Every kind of God. Just in case the pastor's wrong. Funny, huh? They threw the cargo that was on the ship. They threw it overboard. They lightened the load. But Jonah had got down to the lowest parts of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. How can you sleep during a storm? Only two ways. Either you got the peace of God or you're in denial. One of the two. So the captain came to him and said, hey, what are you doing down here? He says, you sleeper? He goes, what are you doing asleep down here? Come and help us, man. We're about to die here. Arise and call on your God. Because everybody had a God. Remember, maybe if your God, perhaps your God will consider us so that we will not perish. Because their gods weren't working. And they said to one another, come and let us cast lots. Huh? Let's cast some straws. That we may know for whose cause the trouble has come upon us. Can you imagine if we all got a bunch of straws here this morning and say, you know what, there's a lot of problems in Albuquerque. Let's see whose fault it is. You guys would be like, I ain't going to grab one of those straws. I think it's my fault already to begin with. It ain't my fault, you know. And then he says, so they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. Ooh, my God. See, God is going to get him somehow, some way. He made that thing jump out of him. Verse 8 says, then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from, man? What's your country? And what people are you? So he said to them, I'm a Hebrew, I'm a Jew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He must have testified, God wanted me to go to Nineveh, but I don't like those people. And so I said, nah, I'm coming with you guys. And they said, what shall we do that the sea may calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the ocean. Then the ocean will calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Is there ever a time where you just dawns upon you and say, you know what? If I get things right, my family would be all right. I know all this stuff's because of me, but I refuse. I'm in denial. I refuse to change. I refuse to quit doing this and doing that. And I know it's the whirlwind. It's because of me. Throw me in the ocean. Verse 13 says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to come against God. They don't want to hurt. For the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord. Start praying to his God. Pray, God, please don't let us perish for this. But this guy's out of here. You know, don't let us perish. Please don't let his innocent blood be on our hands. If it pleases you, that's what we're going to do. So the Bible says they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. It doesn't say what vows they took. It's possible they did a sacrifice later on when they got to land. They learned what the sacrifice was. He asked Jonah, what do we do? And he must have told them. But then verse 17 says, the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. What fish has swallowed you up? What fish has swallowed your life up because you have not risen and went to your Nineveh? You have risen and went to your Tarshish. See, God always, always, always calls his church to arise and go where he wants him to go. The Lord prepared that great fish and swallowed. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Jesus referred to this when he says, I will be in the depths of Sheol for 3 days and 3 nights. But on the third day, I'm going to rise. See, it's significant. Here it is again. God always calls his church. God always calls us to go into the midst of darkness and speak the word, speak his love. See, God had called Jonah in verse 1 and 2. We see it. He said, rise, go to Nineveh. When God calls someone, it's hard to submit to his will in the first place. But when he gets specific, listen, I didn't want to do ministry in Albuquerque because I'm from here. I got a whole bunch of family, and I got a whole bunch of had enemies. I had people, friends. I didn't want to be here. I thought it's going to be so hard to serve the Lord here. I wanted out. I told my dad. I said, Dad, launch me to the East Coast. The West Coast is too close. Get me out of here, Miami, New York. Even Dallas I'll do because I can go to football games. Win or lose, I'm still going to go. And he said, why? And I said, because I just can't be here, man. This is a rough place. I grew up here. I have too much pain here. A lot of people don't like me here, Dad. I try to go to some funerals now that I'm saved, and people don't want me at those funerals because I was part of the cause of their people are the way they are. I was evil. I was greedy. And so I don't want to be here. I told Barb, what do you think, babe? Let's get out of here. She goes, yeah, let's go. I feel the same way. Let's get out. God says, no. I'm calling you to your Nineveh. See? You've got to remember that the people of Nineveh were the sworn enemies of Jonah's nation. They had raped and pillaged. They had robbed them, taken everything from them. He remembered it as a little boy. They told the stories. The Ninevites were wicked, and they constantly warred against the Hebrew nation of Israel. And now God was going to send them to preach to them. They were one of the most ungodly people in the whole region. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, there were some people I didn't want to go talk to still, because I still had some bitterness in my heart towards people. I'll never forget the time one of the guys, my arch enemies, the guy had shot at my house. He shot at my car. They threw bricks through my car. They shot a friend of mine that was meant for me. They shot at some other friends of mine that same night and almost killed them. And these guys were evil people, man. They were awful. And I remember the first time I had just got saved 3 or 4 months, and I was there at the fire academy doing some testing. And I was up on top of the tower, and the guys were running up with a hose. They'd come up, they'd neighbor it over, put it down, get another one, put it down. And then I'd sign it off and say, all right, good job. Go ahead, or else they failed or whatever. So I'm up there at this end. My arch enemy, he comes up, pulls up, and he looks at me like this. I looked at him, and the rage came, that old rage I used to have, that anger. And I looked at him like, oh, what are we doing here? We're at the head. And he looked at me, and this is what he did. He looked down, and he saw my Bible. I love this thing. This kid has protected me, man, because I could have done something stupid that day. He looked at my Bible, and he goes, are you a Christian? I never got him back. See, I never got to get him back. I go, yeah, just a new Christian. He goes, hey, man, I just got saved, man. I'm going to Calvary, man. He goes, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. I go, all right, man, I'm sorry, too. I said, just get your stuff done. I go, I was still new. I wasn't, like, you know, all polished. So, hey, praise the Lord, let's pray together. Let me give you a heavenly kiss, and then, you know. I'm going to let my Puerto Rican come in. You know, I wasn't into that. I said, do your stuff, man. I'll give you a fair thing. In my mind, I'm thinking, man, maybe he'll follow. No. Human. I'm human. You're human, right? I didn't want to preach to him. And then I didn't want to go preach to certain people either. I had a hard time. But God said, I've sent you to Nineveh. Quit being a Jonah, or I'll put you in a whale. And some of us don't want to do that because we don't want to do that. The mocking. I had people mocking me at the firehouse. I had people mocking me, and my homeboys were mocking me. Come on, that'll pass, bro. I understand. You're trying to pacify Barb. Just go ahead, pacify her. We'll put up with it. Just meet us on this weekend. I'm like, I'm doing it. Come on. We understand. We know you. Mocking. I didn't want to preach to them. See, Jonah couldn't handle the pressure, so he ran away from the presence. Some of you can't handle the pressure of those things. I understand. I've been there. But let me tell you, you don't got to be a big old big mouth and preach loud in the street corner. Just live your life as a good Christian and let your witness come out of you. And when the time comes, I'm telling you right now, they will call you. They will call you and say, listen, my son is addicted to heroin. I heard you go to a church where they have a men's home. Is there any way you can come to court with me and help me? That's not the time to say, well, I'm going to Tarshish now. That's the time you say, yes, let me call up my pastor, let me call up some of the leaders, the home directors, and we'll get over to court with you, brother. Of course you will, man. Let me pray with you. You know how I know that? That's been happening for the past 25 years. Let me move quick here. I'm going to get through this. You see, you understand, Tarshish, where he was going, He went to a place that was actually probably off the coast of Spain, more is what it was, but possibly Cyprus. And it possibly could have even been the tip of Africa, but it was in that region right there. And he was going to this place that were the people were called the Phoenicians. And these people were very humanistic, but they were very smart. They're the ones who invented the alphabet. They're the ones who invented a lot of medical things. They were very prosperous. But they worshiped Baal and Ashtoreth, the false gods that Jezebel had brought to Israel. So these people had thought they were good. They were smart. They had everything, but yet they worshiped false gods. And this is where he was going. He was going to leave the house of God to go there. You'll actually leave the house of God to go someplace that is going to chew you up and spit you out when they don't need you anymore? Because that's what the world does. When you say, well, I'm going to go with my worldly friends because at least they understand me. They understand. No, no, they understand you behind a drink, behind a shot. They understand you behind a puff. That's all they know. But once it's all said and done, you go try to talk to them at 9 o'clock in the morning the next day after a party. They don't want nothing to do with you. Because you bring memory of what they are. I know that because that's the way I was. I tried to do that. I was out there trying to be professional and trying to do all these things I had going on. And you know what? The devil just ate my lunch and he's chewed me up and spit me out. My own friends, my own family did that at times. Why? Because they couldn't believe that God could change somebody like me. Listen, God can change anybody. He was jumping from the frying pan into the fire. Instead of just obeying God, he had to go on a roundabout. Amen? A walkabout. How many know you can run from God, but from the presence of God, but you're not going to be able to hide? Psalms 139, verse 7 through 13 says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, there you are. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are right there. If I take my wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Verse 11 says, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. You knew me before I was in my mother's womb. How in the world can I hide from you? You can't hide from God. You can't. So which way is your ship headed this morning? Devil always has a ship ready to sail away from God. The next thing we see in verse 3, the Bible says that he had to pay his way. You know what's crazy? Is that you think that it's going to cost you too much. It's going to cost you too much of your time, your talent, your money, your everything, your life. You don't realize that when you run from God, you still got to pay a fare. You got to pay the piper. Don't matter. It's like the moment you say no to God, and you say, no, I'm going to go to God because it costs me too much. But yet you go to the world, and the world will suck it out you. They'll pull it out of your life. Why? Because that's what it's designed to do. You say, well, I can't believe the pastor got up there and said, we got to tithe because it's wounding to the church. You don't understand still. That's why your mentality still. Because you know what? When you're out in the world, they make you pay for everything. You got to pay your fare to Tarshish, whether you like it or not, and it costs you some money. Yet, when it comes time to like giving your tithe, it's like, my $50, my God, you want to break me? Really? Really? Is that what you think? We've been doing this a long time. A long time. For the life of me, I don't understand how people understand you don't have to pay when you run from God. How do I know? Because I ran from God and I paid dearly. Financially, physically, emotionally, all kinds of ways. I paid my fare to Tarshish. For 10 years that I ran from God, I paid my fare. I paid my fare. I paid my fare. And all that time I was saying, Barb, I don't want to. They're going to take my time. I'm going to have to go to church all the time. They're going to want me to give money. They're going to want me to give my talents. I can't do that. I need my life to be free. She'd say, babe, your life's just going to be free. It's going to be freer than ever, babe. And I'm like, nah, it's not for me. Don't ask me to go to church anymore. Every year she'd ask, babe, can we go to church? Maybe try to go to church, maybe on Sundays. I go, nah, they want everything from me. They didn't see my tab up in the club. They didn't see how I just popped tall and saluted my connection when they had the load and the load came in. I know you don't have to hear about, oh, pastor, it's hard to talk about. You better tell who I was. You got to know who I was if you're going to know where I'm going. And I want you to know, I popped tall and, yes, sir. I counted every, here you go. I didn't hold nothing back, nothing. Why? Because I knew order. I knew you got to pay. I would have went to prison if I'd have got busted, but he wouldn't have because I wouldn't have ratted. Because that's what's expected of you. You don't rat on that, right? So I knew the chances I was taking, but I didn't care. I still paid. Willing to pay anything. Why? Because I was on a ship to Tarshish because I didn't want to go to Nineveh. Because this city had hurt me. Hurt my dad. Hurt my mom. Hurt my parents, my grandparents, my family. This city injured my family with addiction and pain and craziness. Seeing my grandma, man, the way she, her life was, my dad's mom, and I didn't want to preach to this city. Send me to Miami. Send me somewhere where I don't know the people so I could just look and just see a faces and not have to know any faces. Some of you have the same issue. That's why I'm preaching this. You live here. And if you talk to people about God, it might hurt you because they may hurt you. He paid the fare. You're going to pay a fare, it don't matter where. Let me run home with this. See, God sent a great wind. We know the story. Broke up everything. It woke him up. He was asleep. He was in denial. How many know sometimes depression, when you get depression, most people just want to sleep. Just want to sleep and just hope it'll all go away and hope that when you wake up, it'll all be gone. But it wasn't gone. When he woke up, it was worse than ever. Wake up! The captain said, get up from there, you sleeper. What's wrong with you? Who is your God? He starts to testify about the God who created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. And they immediately knew it was him. And God prepared that great fish in verse 17. Man, oh, he was in that belly in his darkest hour. It was in his darkest hour that he had denied God. Yet it was in his darkest hour. Oh, my goodness. Let me read it real quick in verse 2, the Bible says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice from where you cast me into the deep and into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and your billows and your waves passed over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deeps closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains, and the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land. Dry land represents stability. He was washed out. Think about the God of second chances. He's willing to give Nineveh a second chance. And then the prophet goes there. He says, I don't want to do this, God. So he denies God. You think, man, God's done with him too. And says, I'll get somebody else. But he gives him a second chance. Lets him go through the belly of the whale thing. Gets spit out. And let's read in verse 3. Look what he says. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Everybody, second time. Saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. He just repeats himself. And preach to it the message that I tell you. You see, God gave the people of God, Nineveh, these people, he gave him a second chance, and he gave the prophet a second chance all in one time. That's because he's a God of the second chances. And maybe you said, you know what, I keep on messing up, man. I keep on running from God. But here you are. Here you are in this place, right here this morning. And God is saying, I'm a God of second chances. I'm using Danny as a voice piece just to let you know how much I love you. Even though you've run and you've been on a ship going to Tarshish, I want to rescue you. Because I love you with an everlasting love. See, God gave him a second chance because he's a God of second chances. So the Bible says Jonah obeyed the Lord and submitted to the Lord. What is it going to take for you to submit to the Lord? You're going to pay either way. You might as well pay with your life and say, here I am, God. Do whatever you want with me. You'd be surprised. You don't have every moment. See, I live like I have every moment in ministry in the church. But we're not here all the time. We're here on Wednesdays and Sundays. And we got other things going on too. I mean, I had one of the greatest days of my life Thursday. It was probably one of the greatest days, definitely of this year. You know why? Because I was fishing with my grandkids. I fished with my grandkids all day through, and we caught fish, and we laughed, and we took pictures, and we made memories because they're growing up, and I don't know how long I'll get to spend with them quality time like that, because that's when they grow up, and they go to college, and they get married, and all that stuff. They're not going to be those little intimate times anymore. God has a way of blessing your life when you submit to Him, and there's nothing more important to me than my family. Nothing more important to me than you guys at church. I love preaching and pastoring this church. Nothing more important to me than lost souls. And if that's all I got is those three things, that's all I need. Family, we got God, family, our beautiful ministry, and the hurting out in the streets. That's all I care about. You want to know me? You want to get close to me? That's what you're going to have to get, because that's what I am. I'm about family, our church, and lost souls. And sometimes it's not necessarily in that time, because sometimes I got to leave games early. Yesterday I had to leave a football game early. My grandson was a beast on the field. I had to leave early because I had to get to the rally. But my family understands. Three things quick. Let me close this. Three characteristics that will help you from running from God. Number one, you have to have self-discipline. See, when you live an undisciplined life, anything goes, you won't fulfill God's purpose. Psalm 16:7-8 says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. So it's important that we have self-discipline of prayer, fasting, God's word, being where God is, being at church. You shouldn't be missing church. If you find it easy to make excuses to miss church. Now, if you've got to work, if you're sick. Man, Pastor Pat back went out this week. You see him walking away. Is he still at church? He could be. He said, Pastor, can I stay home? I would have said yes. And he's like, I should have asked him. But he's a soldier. He wants a word because he's going someplace. God has a plan for him. He wants to know what's next. If you find yourself making excuses so easy to not be in church, then you're not where God is speaking to you. Being in his presence, make it easy not to have a time of prayer. Be open to counsel. Listen, God gave us two ears and one mouth so we could listen twice as much as we talk. Sometimes we want to talk. Just listen. You'd be surprised out in the park what you hear when you talk to these guys. You want to tell them about, yeah, Jesus loves you, man. You do this and you got to get this and you got to do that. And the Hebrew, it says that way, and the Greek says that. Shh. Put your arms around them and say, all I know is God loves you and I do, bro. What's going on with you? Boom, they just pour it out. Man, I'm sorry. Come on, let me pray for you. Second thing is being submitted to the Lord. You want to submit yourself to the Lord. Quit being rebellious. Jonah was rebellious against God. I was rebellious against God. And I'm not going to put that same shoe on your foot. But if the shoe fits, change the socks. Because they're starting to smell. You know that old one, right? That was the famous quote by Jerry Leyba. Still don't know what it means to this day. I'm just not going to do it, and nobody's going to tell me what to do, and I don't have to come to church if I don't want to come to church, and I don't have to do this if I don't want to. Okay, you don't. This is America. You don't got to do whatever you don't want to do. But I'll tell you something right now. If you'll do what God wants you to do, God will bless you. I didn't say you wouldn't have no problems. I didn't say you wouldn't have no bills. I wouldn't say you ever have to go to the doctor. I'm just saying he'll bless you. God's call to surrender. And then lastly, we see that it takes humility. Being full of pride never did anybody any good. How many know somebody real super prideful? And then whenever they, you know, it's tough, man. It's tough to humble yourself when you're super, super, duper, duper prideful, man. And and you got to humble yourself when things, something happens. My God, might as well just stay humble. Humble yourself so that you don't have to get humbled. Hello, somebody. The Bible says pride comes before a fall. God always makes room for a humble man, a humble woman. And in closing, as the worship team makes their way, in Luke chapter 7, there's a story of a woman who had a broken heart, was lost, was hurting, full of sin, full of doubt, full of depression. She was disgusted. She needed to be healed. She needed to change. She wanted a good life. She wanted the kind of life that, you know, other people had, that could just go to work and pay their bills and watch her kids grow up and, you know, have family and eat good and live good. She wanted a good life. She was all messed up, man. She had a bad reputation. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36, the Bible says, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that it was Jesus was at the table of the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at the feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. Ah, wiped them with her hair of her head, and she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to him saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. For she's a sinner. And Jesus answered in verse 40, he said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Verse 44 says, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, who do you see this woman? He said, I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. In other words, costly oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, God doesn't call the perfect. He calls the broken. If you think you're perfect, just stay looking in the mirror for another 2 minutes. Just another 2 minutes. That first minute's not going to do it, sister. Brother, that second, I'm telling you right now, I don't care how many muscles you got. If you ain't got cora, if you don't got a heart for God, your muscles are going to wither away one day, remember. He sent his only begotten son to save the lost. Jesus didn't come to promote the perfect, man. He came to bless the broken. And if you're here this morning, and you say, man, this is a hard message, Pastor. You're telling us that you're telling me that I got to preach to people I don't like? No, I'm not saying that. If God tells you to do that, then you got to do it. You'd be like Nineveh and going to the belly of a whale. Somebody don't even like fish. Can you imagine having to live in there for 3 days? Let God use your life, man. Let him use your life. Maybe you've been running from the call of God like I was. I ran from the call of God for many years. Maybe you've been running from the call of God. Quit running from the call of God and just submit to God. Quit playing around. Quit prolonging the pain. You know one day you're going to have to submit anyway, so you might as well do it right away. I'm just cutting to the chase. Or maybe you have submitted to the Lord, but you find yourself in the belly of the whale in a dark place right now. And you said, can God give me a second chance? Yes, he can. He can. Submit to him. Humble yourself to the Lord. The first thing you need to do is make a decision. You're going to respond to the call of God, not to my call. Man, I've been trying to tell my family, my friends, my call is not your call. Don't trip out when you see I'm radical, man. I said, you may not be called to the radicalness of my life, but you have a calling of your own, and you submit to that call. And if you don't submit to that call, you're going to be running to Tarshish for the rest of your life, and you're going to be in the bottom of that ship, asleep in depression for the rest of your life, and one day they're going to snap and throw you out of the ship. You're going to find yourself in a darker place than you ever thought you could be. Don't try to put yourself in somebody else's boat and say, if I give my life to the Lord, then I got to be like him, like her. No, you got to be like what God wants you to be. I say this, take your eyes off of your mess and put them on the master. Get your eyes off of your junk and just put them on Jesus. Let God get a hold of you this morning once and for all. Submit yourself to God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord so he can lift you up. Get disciplined and start coming to church. Start getting in prayer. Just start reading your Bible. Start loving God. I know you already love God, but start loving him like with such a passion, the kind of passion that, you know what, you won't have to say anything. People will see it in your eyes. They'll see it in the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you live, the way you operate in every way, the compassion, the mercy, the goodness, the giving, the love, the gifting that you have. God will let it shine through your life in the darkest place. Your job is a dark place, man. You know, the city we live in is dark. The nation we live in is dark. But you know what? When the light of God, man, it gets strong, man. I'm telling you something right now. It's time for some of you to get lit this morning. I'm talking about get light up with God. Get the Spirit of God upon you and let the light begin to shine in the darkness of your family. Begin to shine in the light of your city. Listen, God has called us to the brokenhearted. He's called us. Listen, some of your friends, your best friends that are good people, they're alone at home, depressed. They have nobody to share their problems with. But the moment you begin to minister to them, they're going to get peace. They're going to get, their hearts are going to get in the right place. And instead of being all messed up, they're going to get all good, man. God's going to change their lives. But if you keep it to yourself, if you never, ever, ever, ever let any of it out, man, they're never going to know because you're the only person that they'll listen to. Let God use your life. Come to this altar this morning. Let God reignite your heart for people, for him. Let God reignite a passion for God and a compassion for people of God. Man, quit running from what God's called you to do and run towards God. I want to ask this music team to start playing. And if you say, Pastor, listen, I need to reignite my passion for the Lord. What does God want from me? I need compassion for the lost. I want to give my gifts over to God. I want you to come to this altar this morning.